Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Wednesday, September the 21st, 2016. And today we are going to be, can't talk this early, into Numbers 29 and 30 in the book of Bamidbar, which means in the wilderness, which is the actual name of the book of Numbers. And it continues on with the reiteration concerning the high holy days, etc., etc., and offerings. And we'll get into that immediately. This is chapter 29. Verse 1, and in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. All work of service you shall not do. A day, that's 31:17, Yom, of crying of the trumpets, 8:6:4:3, that's all one word, and that is Teruah. A day of crying of the trumpets, it shall be to you. That's Yom Teruah, and that's as a cry of joy when they sound the shofar. It's a cry of joy to us. And that will be on the 19th of this month. We've already passed that up, but that was Yom Teruah. Sundown Sunday of the 18th to sundown Monday of the 19th, and it was also a weekly Shabbat. So it's a high Shabbat and a weekly Shabbat combined. So it was a double dose. And I enjoyed that. Verse 2, and you shall offer a burnt offering of a pleasing odor to Yahweh, a bullock, son of the herd, one, a ram, one, and he lambs of the first year, seven without blemish, and a grain offering of fine flour mingled with olive oil, 3/10 deals for the bullock, 2/10 deals for the ram, and 1/10 deal for one he-lamb throughout the seven he-lambs. So they're gonna sacrifice. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. Praise Yeshua for that. Verse 5, one male goat for a sin offering to make propitiation for you. Well, Yeshua Messiah made the propitiation once and for all. So we are freed from this. He fulfilled these ordinances. Beside the burnt offering for the month and its grain offering and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering, according to the manner, 4941, a pleasing odor, an offering made by fire, to Yahweh. And for verse 1, I neglected to give you reference Leviticus 23:34. All of this has been stated in prior books and even in this book. They redo this a lot. verse 7. You shall have on the 10th of this 7 month a holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves, 6031, in other words, you're to fast, and all work you shall not do. All in verse 7 through 11 here, you can reference Leviticus 16, 29 through 34, and chapter 29, verse 7, and 23, verse 27. And that is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as they say. But in Hebrew, it actually means the day of the covering over, a day of propitiation. And that will be on the 28th of this month. That's next Wednesday, a week from today. And I will be having a special show all about it on that day. And you don't eat food, you don't drink water, you don't do any work. You sit around and you read scriptures. And you praise Yahshua for making propitiation for you. It is now a Christian ceremony. Because the Messiah has come and done his work for us and carried our sin from upon us if we accept him. And it requires repentance of our sinful ways and acceptance of his rules and obedience to his rules. And that includes the rules that the Father gave us, all the ordinances and commandments that we have been issued. They were to Israel. There are no commandments to the Jews. Yom Kippur is not a Jewish day. There's nothing in these books that's Jewish. It's all to Israel. And those that claim to be Israel today with the hook noses and the usury and the black kinky hair are liars and impersonators. Israel is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan sons of Europe, because that's where we went in dispersion up into Europe. And now we're all over the place. We're in South Africa, the Boer people. They are Israel. They've always known they've been Israel, and they live like it. And as the song said, God save the Boer. So we have many, many listeners down there, and bless them all. And praise Yahweh for them. Verse 8. You shall bring near a burnt offering to Yahweh for a pleasing odor. A bullock, son of the herd, one, a ram, one. He lambs of the first year, 7, without blemish they shall be to you. And the grain offering of fine flour mingled with olive oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, 2/10 deals for one ram. Several 10th deals for one he lamb throughout the 7 he lambs. One male of the goats for the sin offering, beside the sin offering of propitiation, and the continual burnt offering, and the grain offering of it, and their drink offerings, on the 15th day of the 7th month, shall be a holy convocation to you. All work of service you shall not do. You shall keep 2287, a feast 2282, to Yahweh 7 days. Now verses 12 through 18 or through 38 here, you can reference Leviticus 23:34 and Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 15. And you shall bring near a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, a pleasing odor to Yahweh, bullocks, sons of the herd, 13, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish they shall be. And their grain offering of fine flour mingled with olive oil, 3 tenth deals for each bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2 tenths deals for each ram of the 2 rams, and several tenth deals for each he lamb of the 14 he lambs. And 1 male of the goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. Well, we can't do any of that. There's no temple, there are no priests, there's no altar, there's no holy of holies. The temple is within ourselves. And we are to keep these feasts in joy, praising Yahweh, and our sacrifice is sacrifice from our lives for the sinful things that we will give up. Verse 17, and on the second day, bullocks, sons of the herd, 12, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish. And their grain offerings, and their drink offerings, for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the he lambs, by their numbers, by the instructions, 4941. And 1 male of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the drink offering. And on the third day, bullocks, 11, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish, and their grain offering, and their drink offering, for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the he lambs, by their numbers, by the instructions. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the drink offering. On the fourth day, bullocks, 10, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish. Their grain offerings and their drink offerings for the bullocks, the rams, and the he lambs by their number, by the instructions. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the drink offering. And on the fifth day, bullocks, 9, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish, and their grain offering, and their drink offering for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the he lambs, by their number, by the instructions. Verse 28, and 1 male goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering with the grain offering and the drink offering. Oh boy. And on the sixth day, bullocks, 8, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish. And their grain offerings, and their drink offerings, for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the he lambs, by their number, by the instructions. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides a continual burnt offering, the grain offering, and the drink offering. Verse 32, and on the seventh day, bullocks, 7, rams, 2, he lambs of the first year, 14, without blemish. And their grain offerings, and their drink offerings, for the bullocks, for the rams, for the he lambs, by their numbers, by the instructions. And 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the drink offering. And on the eighth day shall be a solemn assembly, that's 6116 to you. That's a high Shabbat, a Shabbaton. All work of service you shall not do. But you shall bring a burnt offering, an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh, one bullock, one ram, he lambs of the first year, seven without blemish, and the grain offering and the drink offering for the bullock, for the ram, and for the he lambs by their number and by the instructions, and one male goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering by their numbers by the instructions. Verse 39, these you shall do unto Yahweh in your appointed times, besides your vows and your freewill offerings, 5071, and your burnt offerings, and your grain offerings, and your drink offerings, and your offerings of well-being. Well, what have we just discussed this last series of 8 days? That is the Feast of Tabernacles. Chag Sukkot, Festival of Booths, where we are to live basically in tents and booths and have a feast every day, a feast of joy. The first day is a high Shabbat and the last day is a high Shabbat, 8 days. And that is coming up next month in October. Sundown of the 2nd of October through sundown of the 10th of October is Sukkot, Tabernacles. I will not be here. I'm going to have all pre-recorded shows. I'm pre-recording these now to free up some time to get prepared to go. And I will be with my Israelite brothers and sisters in the state in which I live, and we are going to be celebrating Sukkot, Tabernacles. Gonna go, and I will have a joyous time. I don't get a lot of time to get away. I'm very, very busy. I'm answering questions every day in the chat room. I try to get in there because the show's pre-recorded, and that frees me up to go in the chat and answer some questions. I'm recording shows. I'm typing out scripture to replace the more primitive work that I had to give to Eli from prison. Now it's all being computerized in a nice format and all that stuff. And I will have copies of these works. I will have everything but Deuteronomy of the first 5 books. I'll probably have Numbers done by then. I will have pastor's copies, which have the Hebrew, and just the normal copies for normal people that the Hebrew is incomprehensible to. I will have those with me. I will bring a bunch of them. So if you'd like a hard copy to study. A lot of people have them. They're three-hole punched. They're on 8.5 by 11 in number 12 type, which is large. So people that don't see well can read them. And they're in Times New Roman, which is a very easy-to-read typeface with all the references that I give. Everything's in there. All the chapter notes, the whole bit. I want to make it easy for people to study. They cannot dedicate the time like I do to the studies because they're trying to live their lives today, and it's very difficult and going to be more difficult for Israel as time goes on as the enemy further attacks us. But whatever you do, if you can't get away to do a Feast of Tabernacles, put up a little brush thing in your backyard, pine branches, and if you can get some palm fronds, make a roof on it with palm fronds. You can figure it out. Make it out of wood, natural wood. And have a little table and some chairs in there and eat your meals in there. That's what we do. And if you're the brave type and you're going to have some good weather, roll out a sleeping bag and sleep out there. That's the instructions from Yahweh, what we're to do. And I will be sleeping in a tent the whole time. I will be in the tent for 8 days. And even in prison, we forced them through legal means that they provided us a Sukkot, and we could spend the whole day. Even when the rest of the population was locked down, we could be out in the Sukkot reading scripture and drinking a cup of coffee, and that was right in front of the chapel, and we'd go back in and out and make coffee and all of that. And we celebrated the whole 8 days because it's a religious holiday, and we haven't had our religious rights taken away from us. So we did that. We made them do it. And the Jews had a hissy fit because the Christian identity people were using the Sukkot. Isn't that a shame? Yeah, they'll get over it or not. We are Israel and they are not. So they had a couple of Orthodox there that really hated us big time. What else is new? Who cares? Oh, my. Let's get into chapter 30 here. Let me have a hit of this nice hot coffee. Oh, that is so good in the morning. And I get up with the chickens and kick the rooster in the rear end to wake him up. And before all the maniacs in the building get awake and start making noise, and I get a couple of shows in the morning when I'm at peace and can take my time and do this and just really enjoy the scripture. I just do. It's a blessing to me. And this is the day I'm recording this, the day after Billy Roper's first show. And boy, was it a dandy. The Roper Report. On Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. Really, really like the information. He just really has his ducks in a row. And all his research material is ready, and he just does a very well-prepared show. As does Pastor Mullet with Divine Truth. And just really, the shows are planned out well. And then we've got David James, and he just gives us news we just don't get anyplace else. And he's humorous and very accurate. And the whole thing at EFR is working out. We're getting more and more really good quality people. And it's a blessing, and I truly enjoy it. Eli told me what it was going to be while I was just preparing to get loose from the Fed. And he said, I've been waiting for you to get out so you can do your show. Well, here I am, reading scripture. I don't get too political. We really don't need to get too political. If we stay in scripture, scripture opens up your eyes anyway. And you see what's going on. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the workings of the enemy. It's so blatant these days. But that's neither here nor there. And Let me pause here for just a second. Yeah, that's better. It's morning. Let's get into chapter 30 of Numbers here. Said Moshe to the children of Israel all that commanded Yahweh to Moshe. Spoke Moshe to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing that commanded Yahweh." Okay. Verse 3. If a man vows, 5087, a vow, 5088, to Yahweh, or swears, 7650, an oath, 7621, to bind, 631, upon himself, a bond, 632, he shall not break, 2490, his word. He shall do according to all that goes forth from his mouth. Now, verse 3, you can reference Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 23, and the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33. Verse 4, if a woman also vows a vow to Yahweh and binds herself by a bond in her father's house in her youth, 5271, verse 5, and her father hears her vow and her bond by which she has bound herself, and her father keeps silent with, that's 2790, that's one word, keep silent with her, then all her vows shall stand, and all the bond that she bound herself with shall stand. Her father has a say-so over that. If she's living in his house and she's a young woman, she is under his authority. Verse 6, but if her father forbids, 5106, forbids her in the day that he hears all her vows, and the bond that she bound herself with shall not stand, and Yahweh shall forgive her, 5545, because her father forbade her. She is under her father's authority. Verse 7, and if it be that she is wife of a husband, when she vowed or promised rashly, 4008, with her lips, 8193, that binds upon her being, and hears her husband, and in the day he hears, keep silent, shall stand her vow, and the bond that she bound upon herself shall stand. Verse 9, but if in the day that hears her husband and forbids her and makes of no effect, that's one word, 6565, the vow that upon her speaking rashly with her lips, that which binds upon her being, Yahweh shall forgive her. Her husband is the authority. Verse 10, but the vow of a widow, Alamana, 490, or one cast out, 1644, that's one that's divorced, all that binds upon their being shall stand concerning them, because they are not under anybody's authority. Verse 11, if in the house of her husband she vowed or bound a bond on herself by an oath, 7621, and heard her husband and kept silent with her and did not forbid her, shall stand all vows and all bonds that bind upon her being. Verse 13, but if utterly breaks, that's 6565 doubled for an emphatic usage. If utterly breaks them, her husband, in the day he hears all that proceeded, 4161, from her lips of a vow that binds her being, shall not stand. Her husband has broken them, and Yahweh shall forgive her. Verse 14, all vows and all oaths that bind to afflict, 6031, her being, her husband may make to stand, or her husband may break. 15, but if her husband keeps silent with her from day to day, he makes to stand all vows, or all that are upon her, they shall stand because he kept silent in the day that he heard. Here's another important part. Verse 16. But if he shall any way break them after he has heard, then he shall bear her iniquity. 5771. It's going to come down on him for breaking these vows because he didn't do it right away. If he procrastinated and a week later he says, "Nah, I don't think you should keep that. You can't keep that." Then the guilt goes on him. So, that's going to be his problem. Verse 17. These are the statutes that commanded Yahweh to Moshe between a man and his wife, between a father and daughter, in her youth, in the house of her father. So we've heard law. That's the end of chapter 30. We have heard all about the festivals, that we are to keep them. And we have heard about all these vows. The vow could take any number of forms. I vow to do this, and I vow to scrub the temple steps for a year on my hands and knees, just to make it pretty, you know, to do a service. She'd have to get permission from the priest to come up to the temple. And I vowed to scrub the steps and make them shiny and clean, and please let me do this. And she, oh, sure. You know, she wasn't a stranger. She wasn't trying to go in the temple. She was vowing a holy vow and would scrub the temple steps in service. She would dedicate something. She would do some kind of an act. Well, the same with a man. If he wanted to do something extraordinary out of his normal lifestyle pattern to serve Yahweh, it could be any number of things. You know, it's hard to imagine for us today what life was like back then. Because in the time period that we're discussing in Numbers right now, they hadn't come to Jerusalem. They hadn't built the temple. They didn't have permanent dwellings. They were living in tents. So it would be some kind a vow. Now, I promise to do this and this to of extraordinary service. And they would have something that they didn't. And I really can't relate because I don't know what it's like to live the lifestyle back then. We can only guess what they were going through. Life was hard back then. There were no stores like we have today. We couldn't go to the store and buy stuff. You had to make your own food. You had to gather grain. You had to slaughter animals. You had to cook in clay pots over a fire. In short, they were camping out. Well, that's exactly what they were doing. They were camping out. Well, that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be about. I'm going to camp out for 8 days and enjoy every minute because I'm going to be with like-minded people that love Yahweh. Otherwise, they wouldn't come to the feast. They want to be observant. They want to be obedient. And it is a joy to me to be around people like that. That love our deity, our divine being, Elohim. And believe on Yeshua and have called on his name and said, please be my redeemer. I believe. I want to obey. And they tailor their lifestyle around that. That is very, very special to me. And I see more and more and more with the posts in the chat room and all the downloads that people are doing of the shows. And people are waking up. They're waking up over in Europe. What we see today is the buildup before the tribulation of the resistance movement against Satan and his minions. And oh boy, the devil does have his minions, believe me. The sold out politicians and the lawyers and the police that are so job scared and so desperate to keep that job, maybe to get a pension, that they will shoot an Israelite on command. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they would. Okay? They would. When it comes between them, their paycheck, and our lives, they value their paycheck more than our lives. Not all of them, not all, but enough. Enough that we're going to have to be very, very cautious. It is not our destiny to be aggressors. Okay? Yahweh is going to take care of this. And we need to be obedient. We have tried to do things on our own. But our duty now is to occupy until Yahshua returns. We have been told this. Occupy until I return. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it tells about the flaming fire and the mighty messengers he's coming back with. All through Scripture, when we were heavily outnumbered by the Philistines or whatever, the Amorites, Amalekites, we called on the name of Yahweh, and Yahweh fought for us. Well, Yahweh has walked away because of our apostasy. We are in dispersion. But those of us who have come back that are earnest and sincere and have changed our lives to match his scripture, He is contacting us through the whole Holy Spirit. He has not walked away from us. He is coming closer to us again, because we realize who and what we are, which isn't much. And we realize who and what He is, which is everything. His power is infinite, but He has a set of rules He plays by. And He's made them abundantly clear to us in these scriptures. I am witness to many, many acts of mercy and blessing. And in my personal life, I have received these things. Yahweh has blessed me. Just putting me in contact with these Israelite people and having the fellowship that I now have. When I didn't know what I was going to do, actually, you know, I had hoped, I had prayed while I was in prison, and I didn't know what was actually going to be out here, because He hadn't revealed that to me. And when I got out, when Eli James came and picked me up at prison, that tells you about Eli James. He came down to Arkansas from Chicago and picked me up personally. And we had fellowship, and I was just crying. After 13 years of hell, being locked up with the beast of the field, this man loved me enough as a fellow Israelite brother that he would come, and he had supported me and helped me time after time after time in prison while I was doing all this scripture work and mailing it to him. And he saved all my stuff that the prison officials were trying to get a hold of and destroy, because they hate God. They hate Yahweh. They hate Christian identity. They are evil, corrupt people. They destroyed many of my religious books. Just took them. Oh, you had too many books. But they're religious books. Tough. Sue me. And you can't. You can't do anything, because you're in prison and you have no rights. And then they had other prison guards in there that were as good as gold and real Israelites, and they knew. And they said, we really can't do anything. We'll lose our job. But I'll help you when I can. And they did. At risk to themselves. Not all of these people in there that work there are bad. But most. Most. It's very unfortunate. I see that many white people that are dooming themselves. But the predominant number of prison officials, the higher-ups, are black. If it's an important job, they're black. Affirmative action at work. And of course, the whitest prison that I was in was Forest City, Arkansas. And it went downhill after I got there. I was there 8 years. And other prisons, I was in Bennettsville, South Carolina. 90% black. About 5 or 6% Mexican. And the rest were whites. Maybe 5% white. It's like living in darkest Africa. And they were real animals. That was a higher security institution when I was there. And it was a medium security. Atlanta, when I was in Atlanta, that's almost all black. They are in total, absolute control, and the staff is maybe 1% white. 99% of the staff in Atlanta is black. Nasty, filthy rats and roaches. And the whites that are there are politically correct. That's why I urge my white nationalist brothers and sisters out there to be smart in what you do. You cannot be effective truly for our people behind prison bars. And you will be singled out and persecuted tremendously. David James was killed in prison. Or David Lane. David Lane. Pardon me. I got dyslexic here for a minute. David Lane we've seen how many of our brothers and sisters go into the federal system and not come out. Edgar Steele, a recent one, a true warrior, went in on trumped up charges and he was killed. So those of us who are out there that think these people will not take our lives with impunity and not be held accountable for it, you better think again. Stay out of prison. Don't do any shady deals. Don't get caught with automatic weapons. Don't go after any Jewish talk show hosts. They're just a little Jew. They're not worth your life. We're going to need you on the street to protect our women and children. We're going to need you. You want to fight, you'll have all the fighting that you can handle. But you'll also have the support of your brothers and sisters. And you will be part of the support for other brothers and sisters. Be smart. Don't let them get you in their clutches. I'm not saying being an out-and-out coward. Just don't do anything stupid. Think before you act. Is it worth it just for this one little Kachahunda or this one little Jew? Nah, it's not going to make a difference with one. We need you as warriors out here. Don't waste yourself before the proper time. You can lay down your life later if you're just bound and determined to go out. Personally, I don't plan on being taken out. I plan on being smarter than they are. There are strength, there is strength in numbers. And we need to keep our numbers up. Okay, maybe you don't believe religiously exactly as I do. But you're still one of our race. That makes me care about you a great deal. Just that sheer fact of your skin makes you important to me. And I talked to a lot of our brothers while I was down. Some of them converted to Christian identity, some of them did not. I can't make that decision for people. That is a personal thing that they have to deal with. But it doesn't make me care about them any less if they don't go the way that I go. They are still valuable and precious to me. On my show, I have a duty. Sometimes it's not pleasant, but when I hear false doctrine, I have to refute it. That is my job as a pastor. Yeah. Well, how can you call yourself a pastor? You're an ex-con. There was a fella named Paul. Was in prison after prison and was eventually beheaded. The state called him a criminal. Well, the state calls me a criminal, but I'm not a criminal. I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer. Not a child molester. Not a drug dealer. I had a radio station. And I told the truth. And I was a militia commander. And I trained people. And they had to shut me up. They couldn't do it legally, so they had to do it illegally. I'm the recipient of the tender, loving care of the Zionist occupational government. I wasn't a criminal before I went in prison. I did not behave as everybody did in there while I was in prison. And now I'm out, and I am not a criminal now. I walk a straight and narrow path. Yahweh had plans for me. I had nothing but uninterrupted time to get close to Yahweh and accept what I had to live with in the land of the beasts that I was locked up with. And I studied His Word every day, all day. And He protected me and isolated me from these people, and they would treat me differently because of my walk in life that they saw. They saw the difference between myself proclaiming Yahweh and themselves living in the world. Even the mud people showed me respect. They were afraid of me because they didn't understand how I could be that way in that hellhole, whichever particular hellhole I was in. I was in five. Whatever hellhole I was in, I acted differently because Yahweh was in my life. I didn't live in their world. I was in it, but I didn't live there. I lived in Yahweh's world. Set apart, as we are commanded to be set apart. No matter where we are, even in prison, you can be faithful to Yahweh. And He will bless you. Remember this, they cannot take your life unless Yahweh allows it. You've heard David James do the book of Job. All those brilliant insights that he gave you into Job. Yahweh was just giving Job a tune-up to get him right. Well, I've had my tune-up, and I praise Him for it. I did not waste one day of prison time with frivolous worldly nonsense. I don't watch sports. I have no interest in watching a large Negro play with a ball. And that's what it is. I didn't do the drugs that were in prison, although I was offered, hey man, you want to get high? No, thank you. I am to keep a sober mind. Didn't watch the devil vision with the garbage that is on the pornography, open pornography that's on the Talmud vision on cable. Filth. Didn't listen to their filthy music. I played in a jazz band. because I'm an excellent drummer and I like a lot of the older songs. And we had fun. And I was known on the compound for being a first-rate drummer. And we had some very talented people in there in our little quartet. And we played some good music. And that fell apart at the end, too. Guys leave. Guys go home. Guys get transferred. They don't give you any notice. They just come to your cube and said, pack your stuff. You're leaving. No notice. They don't want you to be able to notify your relatives. And then you'll be in at some transfer center for months with the rats and the roaches and the punks that come in. They get these short-timers come in and they bring the hood with them and they used to flick everybody until somebody just lays them out or breaks their neck or something. In the high security institutions, it's a lot different than it is in the low security institutions. A lot more respect because the people are more dangerous. And if you disrespect someone, they're more than likely going to kill you. Happens all the time. They're airlifting somebody out that got stabbed with a bucket handle or something. They kill each other left and right, and all I can say is good riddance. But I made it through because of Yahweh's blessing. This world out here has degenerated to the point when it's not much different than being in federal prison. You have more freedom, but you have just as much danger. These people out here are insane. The violence is crazy out here. You have to watch your back wherever you go. You can see how many people are getting attacked, especially if you're older. They see you as an easy victim. Well, I'm not, but some are. I've kept my strength up, and I'm a big guy. So they don't mess with me. I've had to crack a few heads out here. And then word got around the neighborhood, don't mess with him. And now I can walk down the streets here with no fear. So, but then that's me. That isn't everybody. Watch yourselves. Prepare for what's coming. Get food and water stashed up, medical supplies stashed up, survival blankets, tents, whatever, boots, fire starter, you know, be a Boy Scout, okay? Be prepared. It's all I can tell you, you know? You're either going to do it or you're not. All I can do is advise to do it. Because I want to see you make it through what's coming. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Keep these feasts that I've been reading to you about. Please keep the feasts. Your spiritual survival depends on it. Because unless you keep his feasts and commandments, he's not going to bless you and he's not going to protect you. Because you're not truly one of his. You're giving lip service to it. And that's not what he's looking for. I'll talk to you tomorrow when we get into chapter 31 of Numbers. And I say Shalom Aleichem. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.